Today, sharing the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Bava Metzia, Daf Ayin Aleph. We continue to learn for the safety and success of Tzahal. They should all be healthy. All those needed for Shleim should have one. B'mehera, the Chatufim should be returned. B'mehera, in good health. And there should be Shalom in all of Klal Yisrael. Okay, we pick up about 12 lines down from the top. Ayin Aleph, Omer Aleph, with a new Braisa. Tanya, we learn the following Braisa. I'm Rav Yossi. Rav Yossi tells us, Borei, come and learn the following. Let's see the following. Samius Einehem, the blinding of the eyes, Shalmavi Biribis, of those that are lending money with ribis. Look how silly they are. Look how blind they are. When you have Adam Kori Lechadera Russia, when a person calls somebody else a Russia, Reuven gets into a fight with Shimon, and he calls him a Russia. So Shimon gets very upset. Yored Imo Lechayev. What does this mean? So Rashi has a couple of explanations. The first one, which Rashi prefers, is Rogil Hiskotetimo. Reuven and Shimon are going to become quarrelsome with each other. They're going to constantly fight with each other. When Reuven calls Shimon a Russia, so Shimon's very upset. He feels like he's been hit. It's as if he's been hit. He's going to fight back. Ukilu Bar Lahargo. It's as if Reuven came to kill him. And therefore, there's going to be a fight between Reuven and Shimon. So that's just when he calls him a Russia. Nevertheless, over here, we have that when a person takes ribbits, they do it voluntarily and all together, as we'll see. We'll get to that in a moment in the Gemara. But for now, it says, Yored Imo Lechayev, when a person just gets into a fight with somebody else, they're very mad at each other. That's the first pshat in Rashi. Then Rashi has a second pshat, which he doesn't like, although others do like this, and do say that Rashi even agrees with this elsewhere. Vani Shamati, Rashi says another pshat, Rashoi Leire Lesoch Umnoso Shochaveiro. That this means when Yored Imo Lechayev, it means that the guy can open up a business that's going to conflict or go and be in competition with Reuven. And we don't have to worry about Los Sasi Gvur Reecha. Rashi says that's difficult to understand. How could this be that the rabbis are basically sanctioning a person to do something wrong? To be over Los Sasi Gvur Reecha and to go and get into a fight with somebody else? That doesn't seem to go and take revenge over here. That doesn't seem like something that the rabbis would allow. Furthermore, Rashi says, the Gemara in Ksubas tells us, a person has to go and raise his son for the first 12 years of his life. Now, what does that mean? After that, he goes and is Yorid Imo Lechayev. What does that mean? So, my Yorid Lesochum Naso, Ika. What does it mean that he goes into business against him? That's not what the pasuk means. It means that you have to go and train a child right for the first years of his life. And then after that, you no longer have that obligation as much to go and force him to do the right thing. Then he's on his own at some point in time. So this can't be the pshat over here that Rashi says that it means. Yoridim Melechayv means that you go into a competing business with Reuven. Tosu says over here that no, and the second Tosus Adam, Tira Masal Adam, he says the Chuvas Hagon, right in the name of Rav Tzad Hagon, Yorid Imo Lechayev means Rasha Lisrof Shlish Tvuoso. He says you can go and burn a third of his Tvuah. And he says, with Tema Godom Minailos, where did he get this from? He says that's a big Tema. In any event, we see that just by calling somebody a Rasha, people get into tremendous fights and they can do tremendous things to each other that are very difficult and very, very bad. Nevertheless, the Haim, but the people that go and lend money with ribbis, they're doing a terrible thing for each other. When Reuven lends with interest to Shimon, both of them are doing something wrong. The lawyers doing something wrong in the ranges, the witnesses are doing something wrong, the guarantors are doing something wrong, everybody's doing something wrong. And nevertheless, the Haim, these people, maybe in Aden the Lavlor, they go and bring witnesses and they go bring the court scribe to go and write it all down. Kulmus Dio, they bring a pen and they bring the ink. The Kosvin, and everybody signs it, a big deal over here, and they write it, and they sign off on it. And nevertheless, Ploni Zek, Kofrabo Kesro. These people are all doing something that goes against Din Daraisa. They're Kofrabo Kesro. They're going against what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. And nevertheless, they all do this with a lot of fanfare and a lot of publicity. So look how blind they are. If we were to call him a Russia, they would get really upset. And here, he's making him into a Russia, and yet they do this with a lot of fanfare, and they're blinded by it. Gemara gives another Braisa, Tanya. We learn the following Braisa. Rishim ben Elazar Omer. Rishim ben Elazar says, Kol mi sheyesh lo maos, umavo som shlo beribis. If somebody has money and he doesn't lend it with interest, in other words, he lends it to people without interest. Oh, about such a person, he's a tzaddik. All of HaKos of Omer, the pasuk says about him, Kaspo lo nosam b'neshech, v'shochad al noki lo lokach, osiele lo yimot liolam. So let's break this down. So that's what the pasuk says. If a person has money, Kaspo, he has money. Velo nasan b'neshech, and he doesn't give it with interest. He lends it without interest. V'shochad al noki lo lekach, and he didn't go and take shochad. So then, oseele, if somebody does all of this, he doesn't give lend with interest, and he doesn't take shochad, he doesn't take bribes, so then, lo yimot liolam, that person will never fall down. He will always be upright. You see from here, shukol amal v'beribis nechosov mismotetim. You can see the implication here is that you'll be upright, you won't fall if you lend money without interest. The implication is that if you do lend money with interest, you will fall. So, nechosov mismotetim, as opposed to lo yimot liolam, you won't fall down, you won't have any troubles if you lend without interest. Implication is, if you do lend with interest, nechosov mismotetin, you will lose your property. So Rashi says, do kochi oseele lo yimo. If you lend without interest, nothing will happen to you. You'll stand upright. You won't lose your money. Implication, ha imnosan v'neshech yimo. If you do, unfortunately, lend with ribbis, so then your properties will lose out. You will lose your properties. Aydwar says, v'hoko chazino and the low most favor ribbis, v'kom esmodotin. We see people that are erelicha people, they don't lend money with interest. They lend money without charging interest, and nevertheless, sometimes they lose their possessions too. It's not an ironclad guarantee, as it seems to imply. So Amar Rabbi Loza, Rabbi Loza tells us, no. Halalu mismotetim olin. These people that are erelicha people and they lent money without interest, so then yes, they may lose their possessions. However, they'll eventually get them back. There will be a reconciliation eventually. For some reason, they may not have been deserving to maintain their possessions for all the time. And Rashi brings down b'hochi mashma kor kol oseela lo yimot liolam. If you do all of these things, then you will not falter. You will not fall down. The im yimo, however, the implication is if you do falter, ein motaso mutas olam. If you do fall down, you won't fall down forever. That's what the pasuk implies. How, as opposed to avol nosi b'neshech yimot liolam. But if somebody does lend money with interest, so then they will fall forever. As Rav Loza continues, v'alalu mismotin ve'en olam. They will fall, but they will fall forever. And we have a similar idea in regards to the following pasuk. The pasuk says, lama sabit bogdim. Tachrish bivala rosha tzadik bimenu. Why do you sometimes see that bogdim, people that are rebellious, bogate is to rebel. Why do we see sometimes people that are rebellious? They nevertheless are you silent HaKadosh Baruch Hu when they swallow up bivala rosha tzadik bimenu. Why do you allow this to happen? And it seems that the tzaddik is being swallowed up. So Amar Rafuna, Rafuna says, no, look carefully. The Lashon says, tzaddik mimenu bolea. When it said, b'bala rosha tzaddik mimenu, it means somebody who is more righteous than him, the rosha is able to swallow up. Implication being, a tzaddik gomer ain't a bolea, that he won't be able to swallow up a tzaddik gomer. It's a similar idea over here, that we can have somebody who's righteous, but not fully righteous, so then he may lose his property, even though he didn't lend money with interest. He lent money without interest, but he'll have a return. So to over here, this tzaddik, while he's a tzaddik in comparison to the Russia, he's not a perfect tzaddik, so then he could be swallowed up temporarily by the Russia. Okay, another brisa, Tanya. Rabbi Omer, Rabbi says, I don't understand the following two ideas that are mentioned in two separate sets of psukim. Number one, I don't understand when it calls a ger tzedek, ha'omer le'inyin mechira, in regards to an eved Ivri. We will see the psukim in a second. It mentions something about a ger tzedek, and Rebbe says, I don't understand it. And we'll explain what Rebbe's problem was, and we'll give an answer, albeit Rebbe doesn't agree with that answer, and that's why Rebbe says, I don't understand this pasuk when it talks about a ger tzedek in regards to the mechira, the sale of an eved Ivri. And the second pasuk that Rebbe doesn't understand, which we'll learn out separately after we learn the first set of psukim, is v'ger toshav ha'omer l'inyan ribbis. Eni yodei mahu. When it mentions a ger toshav, now a ger toshav is a righteous Gentile. He believes in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He lives in Eretz Yisrael and he observes the Zayin Mitzvot B'nei Noach. So he's a ger toshav. He's not a ger in the sense of a full convert, but he's a righteous Gentile that lives in Eretz Yisrael. And it mentions something about ribbis in the psukim, and I don't understand it either. So the two problems that Rebbe had, one with a ger tzedek that's mentioned in regard to an Eved Ivri, and one with a ger toshav that's mentioned in regards to the din of ribbis, and we have to now understand what the Rebbe's concerns were, and we'll give answers from Rav Nachman, albeit Rebbe may not agree with them. Now, what's the pasuk ger tzedek ha'omer l'inyan mechira that Rebbe didn't understand the din of a ger tzedek, a true righteous convert, in regards to the din of an eved ivri, because the pasuk tells us, v'chi yamuch ochicha imach v'nim karloch. The pasuk says, v'chmon l'tzlan, if somebody goes and doesn't observe the laws of Shemitah, there'll be a terrible cascade. If he continues continues and continues to go and breach the laws of Shemitah, so he'll become impoverished, he'll have to borrow money, and then he'll eventually have to sell himself and sell himself and sell himself to continuously worsening situations, till ultimately the Braisa tells us he has to go and sell himself to an Avodah Zarah to go and chop wood for the Avodah Zarah. Now, this cascade in the pasuk starts off the chiyamuch ochicha imach. You're becoming impoverished because you didn't observe the laws of Shemitah, v'nim karloch, and the person has to be sold. Now, the lo loch, not only to a yid will he be sold, el leger, he'll even sell himself to a ger tzedek, a righteous ger. As the pasuk says, shenemar leger, the pasuk continues and tells us in pasuk mem zayin in perik chav hey, it tells us v'chi chsasig yad ger v'soshav imach. Now here it separates ger and toshav, so it's not a ger toshav, it's a ger and a toshav imach. Umoch chicha imo, and you become impoverished again because you didn't follow the laws of Shemitah. It says v'nimkar leger toshav. Now here the second part of the pasuk, it seems to say ger toshav, but in the first part we separated ger vit toshav, so here it also means that it's separated. So we just darshan the nimkar leger. So you'll have to sell yourself to a ger. However, the lo leger tzedek, that's not talking about a righteous ger alone that you'll sell yourself to. You continue to not follow the laws of Shemitah, you'll eventually have to sell yourself to a ger toshav. The lo leger tzedek, ella leger toshav. As the pasuk continues, shenemar leger toshav. It says you'll sell yourself to a ger toshav. Now it said already leger we darshan separately and toshav we darshaning separately because the beginning of the pasuk said ger vitoshav. So we're darshaning the end of the pasuk the same way. First you'll sell yourself to a ger tzedek, and then that won't be enough. You'll have to sell yourself to a ger toshav. Shenemar leger toshav. Now then the pasuk continues and it says v'nimkar leger toshav imach. Oh, le'eker mishpachas ger. So then it says mishpachas ger. That means zanochri. You sell yourself to a guy. Never mind a ger toshav. You sell yourself to an outright guy. And then when it says at the end kishu omer oli eker, when it said ole eker mishpachas ger, that means that won't be enough to sell yourself to a regular guy. Zehanimka le'avodos kochavim atzma. You sell yourself to the goyish avodah zara, and of course you won't worship the avodah zara. But as Rashi says, you will go and be lachtov eitzim, you will go and chop wood, or lishov mayim, or draw water for the avodah zorah. That's how far you will sink. Now, what's the problem with this? Where did Rebbe have a problem? So, Omar Mar, we go back and dissect the brisa. It says, v'lo loch el leger. You won't sell yourself to a yid, but you'll sell yourself to a ger. Shenemra, leger, as the pasuk said. Now, lememra, that implies that a yid is able to sell himself to a ger, a righteous convert, a ger tzedek. Lememra, the ger koni eved ivri. That's what the brisa darshan and the psukim seem to apply. But that goes against what we've learned elsewhere. Or meaning, we have another brisa that says, ein hager nikne be eved ivri. A ger cannot be an eved ivri. We'll explain why in a moment from the psukim. And likewise, the ein ish of a ger kon an eved ivri. And likewise, a woman or a ger, this ger tzedek, aren't able to acquire an eved ivri. So why not? So we explain the following. Ger lo nikna be eved ivri. A ger cannot become an eved ivri. Why? Because the pasuk says at the end of a 6-year period of servitude, vishav el mishpachto, but he has to go back to his family. And by definition, a ger tzedek doesn't have a family. He's kikat mishnol adami v'hol leka. So that's why we strictly dash to the psukim, vishav el mishpachto cannot apply to a ger tzedek, and therefore a ger tzedek cannot become an eved ivri. Why can't he acquire an eved ivri? Ein isha v'ger kon an eved ivri. A woman or a ger can't acquire an eved ivri. So the isha, that's straightforward. Lav orichara, it's improper because there'll be yichud concerns if she acquires an eved ivri. She'll be alone with this eved ivri. So that's why we don't allow it. But why can't a ger tzedek acquire an eved ivri? So ger nami gemiri, we have a gemara, we have the mesorah that the mikne kone, somebody who can become an eved ivri can acquire an eved ivri. However, the lo mikne, if you can't become an eved ivri, lo kani, then you can't acquire an eved ivri. So therefore, this is what Rebbe didn't understand. Why does this brisa, when it darshans this pasuk, seem to indicate that a ger tzedek could acquire an eved ivri? It goes against everything that we've just learned. So this is what Rebbe didn't understand. However, along comes Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, and he says, "Ein o kone v'dino ki Yisrael." When it says that this ger tzedek can't acquire an eved ivri, it means he can't acquire him with the dinim of a Yisrael. However, avokone v'dino kinochmi, he can acquire this eved ivri, but he will function in this regard as if he was a guy, a nochri, who can acquire an eved ivri, and the din will be that of a guy and not that of a yid if this ger tzedek acquires an eved ivri. Now, obviously, Rebbe disagrees with this drush of Rav Nachum Yitzchok. But what is this drush of Rav Nachum Yitzchok? The Tanya. He brings down the following brisa. It says, Anirtza. Anirtza is an eved ivri who wants to stay beyond the 6 years. He doesn't want to go free. So then we pierce his ear, the ear that heard on Har Sinai, that you should only be an eved to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you want to be an eved to this yid. So then we pierce his ear, and he's allowed to stay till the Ovel. So, Hanirtza, or Vahanimkar Lenachwi, or if an Eved Ivri was sold to a guy, so then the din is Eino Oved Lo Es HaBen V'Lo Es HaBas. Hanirtza, if he's Hanirtza to, you know, Reuven, and then Reuven passes away, so the Nirtza goes free. He doesn't become a servant until the Ovel for the son of the Nirtza. And likewise, if you're sold to a guy, so the guy is your master, he owns you as this Eved Ivri. However, when the guy dies, you don't become an Eved Ivri to his son. You go free. As opposed to, if a Yid, a regular Yid, during the 6 years of servitude, dies, and he had been Kone, this Eved Ivri, so then his son does take over the Eved Ivri status. So that's what Rav Nachum Yitzchok says, that when the drasha was that a ger tzedek cannot acquire an eved ivri, it means he can't acquire him with the dinim of a yid, but he does acquire him with the dinim of a guy, and that's how Rav Nachum Yitzchok reconciles the problems, albeit Rebbe said, I have a kasha, I don't understand this brisa, I disagree with what Rav Nachum Yitzchok's teretz was. Okay. Let's just continue to Darshi one more thing in this regard before we get to the second set of psukim that Rebbe had a problem with. Amar, we go back in Darshi in this brisa. It says, Ve'ein isha v'ger konen eved ivri. It says that a woman or a ger tzedek cannot acquire an eved ivri. So let us say, Neimo deloka Rav Shimon Gamliel. This is not in accord with what Rav Shimon Gamliel said. What did Rav Shimon Gamliel say? The Tanya, we learn the brisa, isha konen sashvachos, that a woman, a Yiddish woman, can in fact go and acquire a shivcha, because here there is no concern of inappropriate yichud. As opposed to the Eino Kone Savodim, because of the concern of inappropriate Ichad. So the Eino Kone Savodim. But along comes Shimon Gamliel, Omer, and he says, Av Kone Savodim. No, that the woman can go and acquire even a Eved Ivri. So therefore, this is a problem. This goes against what we just darshan. So it seems that this isn't in accord with Shimon Gamliel. So Gemara says, no, I feel tam with Shimon Gamliel. It can even be in accord with Shimon Gamliel because lo kasha, how do you reconcile that Shimon Gamliel says, av kones avadim, but we just learned in the brisa that ain't isha kones avadim, so it's different types of avadim. So kam be eved ivri, this brisa that we had first that says that a woman cannot acquire an eved ivri, but the brisa of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel that says that she av kones avadim is talking about an eved kanani, kan be eved kanani. So we can reconcile this even with the opinion of Shimon Gamliel. Shimon Gamliel says, we'll explain why in a moment, that you can't acquire. I agree with the brisa that says that a woman can't acquire an eved ivri, but in regards to an eved kanani, that doesn't go in a stira to the first brisa. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, yes, she can acquire an eved kanani. What's the difference? Why an eved ivri? No. An eved kanani, yes, seems to be the opposite of what we might have intuitively have thought. So no, eved ivri, it's niyala. An eved ivri will be tsanua. If he goes and Rachman al-Islam commits another day with her, he's not going to run around town and brag about it, right? A gentleman doesn't tell. So he's not going to go around brag and say, hey, I had relations with this woman. So therefore, the woman may be willing to take immoral positions with this Eved Ivri because she knows he'll be Tzanua and won't brag about it, won't talk about it around the town, and her reputation will be safe. But Eved Kenani, Paritzla, she knows that the Eved Kenani is going to go brag about it. The Eved Kenani has no morals like a Yid, and therefore he's going to say, look, I had relations with this woman, and therefore she's going to be concerned about an Eved Kenani going around bragging that he had relations with her. So therefore she'll be Tzanua with an Eved Kenani, paradoxically, and might not be so tsanua with an Eved Ivri. And therefore, with an Eved Ivri, there's a concern with immorality. With the Eved Kenani, there isn't. Somewhat paradoxical, but that's the explanation. Gemara now questions this and says, Elo ha detani Rav Yosef. But what about that which Rav Yosef taught us in the following brisa? Rav Yosef said, Armalta, that's a woman who Nebuch lost her husband. She's a widow. Armalta is the way we refer to an almana in both a ksuba and in the get and other documents, that's the way that we refer to an amana. So amalta lo tarde kalba, a woman who never lost a husband, she's living alone, shouldn't go and raise a dog, because again, there's a chashash that she chas v'shalom will commit an avera with the dog. So Rechmona Litzlan should commit the act of bestiality. Tosos points out in the bottom Tosos, Mishum Lazus Vasayim Bi Alma. It's not talking about Chas v'shalom that she'll actually go and do such an avera. As Tosos writes, because Shelo Nechshedu Yisrael Al Hazachor Ve'al HaBehema, because Chas v'shalom, that's not a normal avera that people normally do. A normal person doesn't do such an avera. And therefore, Ve'in Isser L'Syachid, there technically is no Isser for a man to have a roommate who's a man, a woman, or a man to have a dog in their house, even though they're alone with a dog. But because what people, Rechmona Litzlan, say about her, as we'll see in the Gemara. So therefore, a woman who's a widow shouldn't go and raise a dog alone in the house. V'lo tashrei bar de'rav b'yushpiza. And likewise, a Talmud Chacham, a bar be'rav, shouldn't go and rent out space in a ushpiza, like a hotel or an inn, from a woman, because, again, people will cast aspersions on them for Rachmana L'Islam doing an Isser. Now, Bishlama Bar Be'rav, we understand why the Talmud Chacham would be a concern that people would say, well, he's committing an aver with that lady, because Tznila, as we just had pointed out, the woman might, Rachmana L'Islam, go and not be concerned about committing an aver with the Talmud Chacham, because he's not going to brag about it. He's not going to tell her all around town that he had this relationship with her, and therefore, they may end up doing something tomorrow. Therefore, a smart person will not go and stay in such a situation, because it would lead Rachmana L'Islam to an aver. But a dog, El Kalba, Kivan de Misrachba, just like we had said by the Kanani, he's going to go about and brag about it. So this dog is going to tag along after her. If the dog, she has relations with Rechmona Litzlan with the dog, so then Mirza, so she's going to be afraid that this dog's going to follow her around. Everyone's going to say, hey, why is the dog following her around? And they're all going to accuse her of Rechmona Litzlan, this terrible crime. And therefore, a woman won't do this. So why can't she go and raise a dog in her house? Just like we said with an Eved Kanani, since he's parvitz, she's going to be somewhat paradoxically not going to do an avera with him because it'll be all over the town. So too with the dog, everybody will realize that she did the avera. Someone says no, because with the dog, Amri, she's going to say to herself, everybody's going to say, "Kivan dechishajile umtsa misruch basra." You know why the dog's following her? Not because Chas v'shalom she committed a morality with the dog. She fed the dog, and the dog's looking for a meal, and therefore the dog will follow her around, and therefore she'll say, "Oh, no problem." Amri inshe mishum umtsa dechishajile hu dimisruch. People are going to say it's because I fed the dog meat. That's why the dog's following me around, and therefore she might, Rechmona Litzlan, come to do in immorality, or people will be loeis on her that she'll do this immorality, and therefore this wouldn't be a prevention, the fact that she's concerned that the dog will follow her around. Okay, that concludes the first sugya that Rebbe had a problem with. He didn't understand how could a ger tzedek own an eved ivri, and we explained that sugya, and we ended up with Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak's answer. Now we go to the second problem that Rebbe had. Rebbe had said, ger toshav amur l'inyan ribis. He had said that there's a problem with a ger toshav, a righteous Gentile who's living in Eretz Yisrael, believes in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and follows the Zayin Mitzvot B'nei Noach. That's a simple definition of a ger toshav. So is mentioned his name in regard to Ribbis, and that was a problem that Rebbe had. Mahi, what was that concern? So the Pasuk tells us, the whole Pasuk goes as follows. The Pasuk says, V'chi yamuch ochicha umata yado imach, v'chazak debo, ger v'toshav v'chay imach. Al tikach meito neshech besarbis v'yareisem elokecha v'chei ochicha imach. So now let's darshan in the pasuk. So the pasuk says, we'll first understand what the pasuk tells us. If again the person becomes nebuch impoverished and he stumbles, umot yodo imach, again he did things that are wrong, and you try to go and strengthen him, v'chazak debo. So it says ger v'toshav v'chei imach. Whether this person is a ger or a toshav, ger vitoshav, not a ger toshav, ger, a ger tzedek, or vitoshav, or if he is a ger toshav, so both of them, v'cheimach, you have to go and support them. Al tikach meito neshech v'tarbis, don't take from, seemingly the pasuk is telling us, don't take from the ger tzedek, or from the ger toshav, ribis. Because v'yareisel lekecha, because the Kodesh Baruch Hu knows he's going to take ribis from him, and you have to go and support them, both the ger tzedek and the ger toshav, v'chei achicha imach. So if he's down in his times, and he needs money, so go lend him money without ribis. Now, that's how we darshan in this brisa, the pasuk. Or mini, but we learned in our Mishnah, it said that one is permitted to go and take or give ribis to a ger toshav. Lovin mehen umavin osam beribis v'chein beger toshav. Not only to a guy, but also to a ger toshav, because technically a ger toshav is a guy. So the brisa seems that we just brought down, this drasha of the pasuk seems to say that one is forbidden to take ribis from a ger toshav, and our mishnah said it's permissible. So what's going on? That's what Rebbe didn't understand. And again, we have a teretz from Nachum Yitzchok, which Rebbe doesn't necessarily agree with. Amar Nachum Yitzchok, miksiv al tikach meitam. Look at the pasuk; it says al tikach meito. It doesn't say al tikach meitam, implying both the ger tzedek and the ger toshav. It says al tikach meito. So from the ger tzedek, you're not allowed to go and give or take ribis. Meitoksiv, however, that only applies me Yisrael, but not from a ger toshav, who technically is a guy. And therefore, the din is that a ger tzedek, you certainly can't give or take ribis from, but a ger toshav, who is like a nochri, you're allowed to go give or get ribis from him. So that's how we resolve the second problem that Rebbe had. Now, Tana Rabbanan, we learn the following braisa. The pasuk that we just darshan said, "Al tikach meito neshech v'sarbis." What does that mean? You can't take from a yid, as we just darshan. You can't take neshech v'sarbis. You can't take ribbons from him. I will atanaselo arev, but it says that you could become an arev for this yid on a loan that he's taking from a guy that has ribbis. And we turn to Ayin Aleph Omid Beis. What does this exactly mean? Ariv Laman, who are you guaranteeing over here? If we're saying Elam or Ariv Yisrael, if we're talking about Reuven lend Shimon money and with ribbis, and Levi is guaranteeing it, so you're not allowed to do that. We just had it earlier today. We had it previously. We're going to have it in the Mishnah on Daf Ayin Hey. It says Beferish for a Tana Elu over and below Sase. The following people are all doing something wrong. They're over low Sase. The Malva and the Lova, the one who lends the money with interest, the one who pays the interest. How are you? The one who guarantees it. They them and the witnesses itself. So obviously, it can't say that it's acceptable to be an Arev, a guarantor of a ribis loan between Reuven and Shimon, between one yid and another yid. Obviously, when it says that you can be the guarantor of a loan, it means el lenochri. It means that if Chris, the guy, is lending money to Reuven, you're allowed to go and be the guarantor of that loan. That's not a problem, because Chris is allowed to go and lend money to Reuven with ribis, and therefore you can guarantee that Reuven will pay back the loan. If Reuven doesn't pay back the loan, you'll pay back the loan to Chris. Now, Dumar says there's a problem with this. The kivon de dine de nochri, the ozul bosar arva, we're assuming right now that this loan from Chris, the guy, to Reuven, the yid, followed the Goyisha rules. Now, the Goyisha rules say that when Chris lends money to somebody and somebody else guarantees it, Chris lends money to A and B guarantees it, Chris has the right to go collect from B, lichatchila. He's allowed to go and automatically go to the guarantor. He doesn't have to go to the person he lent the money to. The guarantor is the one that guaranteed the loan. You go straight to him. We have a similar concept in terms of an arev in Jewish law, where if the arev says, you can come to me first, this is called arev shluf dutz. So therefore, this shluf dutz type of arev in Jewish law follows the similar idea that they have in Goyish law. But by the Goyish law, it's an automatic. By Jewish law, it has to be specifically written in that I can go and collect from the guarantor even before I go and try to collect from the person they lent the money to. But by the Goyim, that was the standard law. Everybody was an Arev Shluf Dutz by their laws, which means that when Chris lends money to A and B guarantees it, he can throw A out of the equation. He just deals with B to get his money back. So now, in our case over here, where Chris lent money to Reuven and Shimon, the yid, goes and guarantees to Reuven, the yid, the loan from Chris, the guy, so then, ihu niu de koshaku minei ribisa. What happens over here is that it is as if Chris has lent the money to Shimon, because Shimon has to pay him back. And then Reuven has to go pay back Shimon, the money that the guarantor put out, Reuven has to pay him. The guarantor can go to the person who he was guaranteeing the loan from and say, hey, I paid the loan, you have to pay me. So it turns out in this relationship, it's as if Shimon was the one that lent the money to Reuven because he dealt with Chris. And now Shimon is as if he lent the money to Reuven $100 and gets back $120. And that should be a ribis concern. It turns out it looks like Shimon is taking ribis from Reuven. So how is that allowed? So we just said that you're allowed to be the guarantor for a non-Jewish person, but that would be a ribis concern. So Rav Sheshes explains, no, it's not. Omer Rav Sheshes, Shekiba lalov lo dum bedina Yisrael. No, when Chris lent the money to Reuven, he said, I'll follow Jewish law. and therefore he can't go directly to Shimon. He has to first go to Reuven. Oh, if Reuven can't pay, so then he can go to Shimon. Now it's not a ribbis. It's not that Shimon lent the money, so to say, to Reuven, as it was under Goyish law. Where it says, but then if you're saying I'm going to follow Jewish law, Shkibel Lav Lodun Medina Yisrael, so then Ekibel Lav Lodun Medina Yisrael, Ribis Nami Lolishko. Then if you're saying I'm following Jewish law, so then Chris shouldn't be able to go and give $100 to Reuven and get $120 back from Reuven. You can't take Ribis if he's following Jewish law. So Gemara says the obvious answer. Amar Rishay says no. Shekibel Lav Lizu. He said I'm going to follow the Jewish law that you first go to the person that you lent the money to, and only afterwards do you go to the Orev Stam, to the regular case by Jewish law where it's not mentioned that it's a Shluf Dutz. It's not mentioned that it's another type of Orev Kablon, which you can have a choice of going to either of the two. But it's a regular case of Orev Stam where the guarantor is only brought into the picture when Reuven can't pay back the loan. Then you go to the guarantor. So in that respect, Chris agreed to go follow Jewish law. Shekibel Lav Lizu. In this regard, he would go to first the person he lent the money to get his loan back. So he would go to Reuven first, and only if Reuven can't pay it, then he goes to Shimon. Now, the low Kibel Lav Lizu, but he didn't accept that he wouldn't take ribbis from Reuven. So in part, he said, I'll go judge by Jewish law, but not in other parts. Okay. Now we go to the end of the Mishnah, which I said was an enigmatic part of the Mishnah. I explained it a little bit when we did the Mishnah, and now we'll see it more inside. Our Mishnah said that under certain circumstances, it was a Reisha and a Seif over here. Malve Yisrael Mosov Shel Nachri Midas Nachri Bechule. Under certain circumstances, the Jew can go and lend out the guy's money, and under circumstances he can't. And then the similar case, when the Jew lends to the guy, so the guy can transfer that loan to another Yid, but only without the knowledge of the Jew. And now let's understand this more inside. Tanur Rabban, the Brice expands upon a Mishnah. The Brice says, "Befevish, mal ve Yisrael ma'oso shel nachri midas nachri." The first case in the Brice, which parallels the first case in the Mishnah, was we have Chris who lent money to Reuven. Again, Chris is the guy, Reuven is always the Yid. Shimon's the Yid. Now, mal ve Yisrael ma'oso shel nachri midas nachri. A Yid can lend out the guy's money with the guy's consent. But not with the Yid's consent. Now, what does that mean? Ketzad. What is the scenario? So the Gemara explains as follows. The first scenario, the Reisha over here, is as follows. Yisrael Shalava Monos Min Hanochri Beribis. Chris lends Reuven money with Ribis. Heter Gomer, like we said, you're allowed to do that. At least, according to the Rashba, we brought down for the Shita Mukubetzes, this would apply to everybody. Kedei Chayiv applies all the time nowadays. In any event, Chris lent Reuven money. Yisrael Shalav Mos Min Hanochri Beribis, and he charged him Ribis. Reuven borrowed $100 from Chris, and he's going to pay him back $120. Ubike Shlach Zirlo, and Reuven is ready to pay back the loan. Let's say there's $20 every month that he has to go and add on. So he's ready to pay him back after the first month. Mitzal Yisrael Acher, Shimon, Reuven's friend, finds Reuven and says, what are you doing? You're returning that money to Chris? I'll take over the loan from you. The Amalo, Shimon says to Reuven, to namely, give me the $100, and I will go pay the ribbis to Chris. So every month, let's say there's another $20 that has to be paid until he pays back the principal. So I'll take it for this month. I'll pay him the $20. And even if he pays Chris directly, no. This is a case where it is Reuven giving Shimon the money, and that ribbis, which goes, even if it goes directly to Chris, is essentially ribbis that Reuven gave a responsibility to Shimon to go and do, and therefore this is usher. Now, I'll have to explain what the isser is over here. We'll essentially explain that even though Reuven is basically acting as a shaliach of Shimon, and there's no shlichus by a guy, nevertheless, in this situation, we'll say that there is a shlichus over here, l'chumra, that he can act as Chris's shaliach to give the money to Shimon, and that type of shlichus, l'chumra, works even by a guy. However, it is permissible, v'mhemido etzel nochri, but if Reuven says, listen, let's go to Chris, he tells Shimon, let's go to Chris, and Chris gives permission to Reuven to go and give the money to Shimon, and Shimon will pay the money then to Chris, so that is permissible. Mutter. Similarly, v'chein, nochri shalav amos mi'Yisrael beribis. Here we have Reuven that lent money to Chris, again with interest. Reuven lent Chris $100 and expects to get back $120. Ubike shlach zirim lo, and Chris is ready to pay him back. It's $20 each month, let's say. Now, Mitzol Yisrael Acher Shimon finds Chris Vyongalo and he says to Chris, listen, give me the money to name Lee Vani Ela Lecha Kederek Shatom Alalo, and I will pay you the $20 extra for each month until we return the money to Reuven. So that is permissible, Mutter, because Chris is allowed to go and give a ribbis loan to Shimon, and therefore there's no problem that he's doing so now, even though the money will eventually go to Reuven, because Reuven doesn't know about it. Reuven gave the money to Chris, as long as he gets back the principal, plus he gets $20 every month, so then he's happy, Mutter. However, then me the way to Yisrael, if Chris goes and tells Reuven, this is what I'm doing, and Reuven says, yeah, no problem, then it's awesome, because then it's essentially Reuven that's lending the money to Shimon with ribbis. So we have the Reisha of this Brisa and the Sefer of the Brisa. Now, Bishlama Sefer, we understand the Sefer because when Shimon is going to get the money from Reuven indirectly via Chris, but Reuven says to Chris, yeah, you can give Shimon the money, even though he's making Chris into a Shaliach and there's normally no Shlichus by a guy, we say here, L'chumra, that we do make Shlichus by a guy in regards to this Ribbis. And therefore, that's why, if Reuven knows about it, he can't go and tell Chris to give the money to Shimon, because then Shimon is basically getting the Ribbis from Reuven because of the Shlichus of the guy. And even though there normally is not Shlichus by a guy, L'chumra, we say the Shlichus. But in the Reisha, El Reisha, what happened there? Chris lent money to Reuven, who then gave the money to Shimon, under the direction of Chris. We said that that was permissible. But how could that be permissible? Kivan dein shlichus anachri, we certainly have the general rule that there's no shlichus by anachri, so therefore, how could Reuven say, I'm acting on behalf of Chris to give the money to Shimon, which we said was permissible, how can that be? Ihu niyu dekoshaku minei ribisa, since he can't be functioning as a shaliach, so Chris can't tell Reuven, you be my shaliach, there's no shlichus by a guy. So then Reuven is the one that's giving the money to Shimon, and therefore that should be a Reuven's concern. So there seems to be a steer over here. So Amar Rav Huna bar Manoach, Mishmei de Rav Acha b'Rei de Rav Ika. So Rav Huna, who's the son of Manoach, said in the name of Rav Acha, who's the son of Rav Ika, and he says as follows. Hoch ma'eskin, you know what the case is over here? Kigon the Amar Lei, when Chris said to Reuven, give the money to Shimon, he said, Kigon the Amar Lei, hanichem agabi karka, put the money down on the ground. Be potter. And now you've paid me back. I'll consider that you pay me back. And now Shimon is picking up the money from the ground. It's as if he picked it up from me and not from you. And therefore, there is no ribbis concern of Reuven to Shimon. This is Chris to Shimon, which is Heter Gomer. Where it says, Pshita then, Ihochi, Maile Memra, what's the Chiddush over here? Of course, if Chris is giving the money to Shimon, Reuven's out of the picture. He put the money down, and that's considered paying it back to Chris. So then it's Chris that's giving directly the money to Shimon. Gemara says, you're right. El Omra Papa, what's the Chiddush over here? Kigon Shenotal V'Nosem Biyad. We're talking about where Chris took the money from the hand of Reuven and gave it to the hand of Shimon. So in this situation, that is why it's permissible. Gemara says, again, what's the Chiddush over here? V'Kasi Ma'alemra. Of course that should be good. Reuven is out of the picture, because Chris took the money from Reuven's hand, Reuven's out of the picture, and Chris gave it to Shimon. So Pshita, of course that's good. What do I need anybody to tell me that? So Reuven says, no, there's a Chiddush over here. I might have thought that Nochri Gufe Ki Ovid, while he did it himself, Chris took the money from Reuven's hands, but Adaita the Yisrael Kogomer V'Yor. It's because Reuven said, sure, you can give this money to Shimon. And therefore, one might have thought, again, L'chumra over here, that there's a Shlichus of Chris on behalf of Reuven to give this to Shimon. Adaita the Yisrael Kogomer V'Yor. I might have thought so. Kamashula know that that's acceptable. Okay, so that's how we've reconciled this Brisa, the Reisha, and the Sefer. Ravashi uses a different teretz. Ravashi Omar, ki amrinon ein shlichus lenochri, hanimil betruma. The only time that we say that there's no shlichus in regards to a guy is in regards to the din of truma. We have a pasuk, as we'll see, that says, kein tarimu gam atem. The extra word gam darshins out that there's no shlichus by a guy in regards to truma. But that's only Ravashi says by truma, hanimil betruma. Avo bekola tarikula. In every other place, there is shlichus by a guy. And therefore, the question never gets off the ground. The Reish and the Sefer are both working within the parameter that there could be shlichus in regards to a guy, in regards to financial matters. And therefore, the question, the steer between the Reish and the Sefer doesn't get off the ground. That's Ravashi's teretz. But the Gemara says, V'hod Ravashi, Barusahi, others have the Girsa, Badusahi. In other words, either Barusa means it's outside, in other words, not a very good answer, or Badusahi, it's just a mistake. In any event, the Gemara slugs up Rav Ashi with the following explanation. It's no good. Baruso, Badusi, Rav Ashi's answer is no good. Because, Maishno Truma Delo. Why do we say by Truma there's no Shlichus by Guy? Because as I brought down, the Pasuk said, Dirsib, Kain Tarimu Gam Atem. It says the word Gam Atem. It didn't say Atem. It said Gam Atem. Dirsib Atem, Gam Atem. It said the word Gam as an extra word to teach us, Ma Atem B'nei Brits. The only people that can take off Truma are those people that are Mechuyiv in Truma, i.e. Yidden. So too, the shaliach of the yid has to be somebody that's mechuyev. Af shluchachem nami b'nei bris has to be somebody that's mechuyev in the din of truma, which excludes a guy. Now, this din is, you're right, Rav Ashi, by truma, but shlichus dechol haTorah kula nami mitruma gamrinala. Every place in the Torah where we allow shlichus, it's learned out from truma. Truma is the paradigm for teaching us the din of shlichus. And therefore, if by truma it can only be shlichus by a yid, so too, the rest of the Torah is also, shlichus is only by a yid, and not by a guy. Ein shlichus lenachri. And therefore, Ella the Ravashi Berusi, or Ravashi Bedusi. There's a mistake over here. Ravashi's answer is incorrect. That's version number one of what Ravashi said. Version number two is, Ika diamre, Yom Ravashi. Ravashi said, Ki amrina ne shlichus lenachri. When do we say that there's no shlichus in regards to a guy? That's hani mili inhu lidi don. That is for us to be a shliach for them. However, Avol Anan, for us, Lididhu, to them, to become a Shliach, Havina Lu Shliach, we can become an agent for them. So therefore, the Reisha and Sefer is not a Stira. In the Reisha, we're dealing with us making them into a Shliach. In the Sefer, they're making us into a Shliach, and that's allowed. That's Rav Ashi's Teretz, according to version number two, the Ika D'Amri. The Gemara answers in the same way and says, no, Vol Rav Ashi Berusi, or Hol Rav Ashi Bedusi, it's outside, it's a mistake. Why? Because Maishna Inu Lididon Nelo. Why do we say that they can't become an agent for us? They can't become a shliach for us because of the pasuk. Dersiv Gam Atem, Dersiv Atem Gam Atem. The Rabbi Shluchachem Moatem B'nei Bris, Ashluchachem B'nei Bris. The same drasha that we learn out that by truma only a yid can go and take truma. Only a yid can be a shliach for truma. But that's the rule, the paradigm for shlichus all out throughout the Torah. Anan Lididu Nami Atem B'nei Bris Kamar. It's only dealing with people that are B'nai Bris that can become a shliach. Either way, for us to become a shliach for them to become a shliach for us, neither way is allowed by a guy. Elohad Rav Ashi Berusi. Obviously, what Rav Ashi said is incorrect. It's outside. Bedusi, it's incorrect. Mark continues and says, Ravina, I'll give you another teretz over here. Nihi de shlichus lenachri lesle. You're right that there is no shlichus by a guy, but there is a concept of zechiah. Zechiah is acquiring something. Zechiah midirabbanan islay. The rabbis instituted that a guy has the power to pick something up. In other words, zach liyadim shlo b'fanav. So there is a concept of zechiah by the guy. So when Reuven does this to Shimon, he's acting as a zechus for the guy. He's acquiring it on behalf of the guy. So therefore, that's why it's not shlichus, but it's a zechiah, and that's why it works. Midei dehavi akotan. Just like zechiah works by a katan. Midah Raisa, the cotton can't pick it up. But we say, Midah Rabbanan, that the cotton has a right to pick it up in order that it shouldn't be fighting. So the Gemara says, cotton, laf avo gadol les le shlichos. Even though a cotton doesn't have shlichos in the Torah, cotton can't be a shlich, you have to be a gadol. And we turn to any base of an olive. Nevertheless, islay zechiah midah Rabbanan, so too, hochanami lo shnoah. By a guy too, there's this concept of zechiah. While there may not be a concept of shlichos, there is a concept of zechiah. The Gemara says that's also incorrect. Ravina's Teretz is also incorrect. Veloi, Yisrael osi l'chal shlichos. Why can a cotton be having the din of zechiah? Because he'll eventually have the din of shlichos. So therefore, the rabbi said, since he'll eventually be capable of having shlichos, so therefore, we can have zechiah for a cotton. But an Akum, a guy, lo osi l'chal shlichos, he's never going to be reach an age when he becomes able to be a shliach, as we learned out, atem, gam atem. So therefore, there is no concept of zechiah by the guy as well. With this, we conclude today's shir.